Now, I was just thinking about this congregation this evening, and we're not a very big group, but we're a talented group. Song leaders, people who are willing to lead prayer, to wait on the Lord's table, to do those things that need to be done within a congregation such as ours. And the ladies, they just step up when something needs to be done and they take care of it. But I think one of the things that we sometimes forget about are the five men who serve as deacons in this congregation. And we're really blessed to have them. Mo and I have talked about this. You typically think you have to meet with a group of people quite often, but this group just seems to do their job. You know, that bulletin just appears for 9 years. The directory, it gets done. The money somehow gets dispensed, and Mike and his family don't go hungry. And the tapes and benevolence, and just the little things that have to be done in this building and in the yard, they just get taken care of. And I think some of us, myself included, we tend to take for granted the work that these men do, and we're just so very, very appreciative of that. I think we're also very lucky to have Mike and his family with us. It's almost a year now, or at least we're beginning to come up on that year. And you know, we waited and we waited and we waited on them to come. And then we waited some more. And boy, was it worth the wait. And I know they were a little disappointed, but you know, God works in wonderful ways. Monica's pregnant, and they waited and hoped that they could adopt children. And they're going to get one here pretty soon. But it's just a good group of people here, and we're so lucky to be together. And I very much appreciate being part of this group. And we're going to just talk very, very simply tonight about God speaks in Christ. Just a simple study on how Christ speaks to us today and our duty to hear Him. God's Son has been given all power. God has given to His Son, Jesus Christ, all power. He's given Him all authority. And if we look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority has been given by God to His Son, Jesus Christ. Not only was He given all authority, but He has been made God's spokesman. He spoke on behalf of God when He came to this earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, we read, "I will raise up a prophet from among you, from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require of them." And Jesus confirmed that his teaching was from the Father in John chapter 7 and verse 16. So Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me." And we know that God sent His only begotten Son. So that which Jesus teaches is not from Him, but from the one who sent Him. And not only was He given all authority and made God's spokesperson, but He was made head over the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we read, "And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. God's Son has been given all power, all authority. He's God's spokesperson, and He has headship over the church. Now, God has given Christ that authority. Now, how does Christ get that to us? And if we look at John chapter 15 and verse 26, we find the beginning of how this is done, the fact that the Spirit would come as a helper. In John 15 and verse 26, we read, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who will proceed from the Father, He will testify about Me." Jesus came, taught His disciples for 3 years, was tried and crucified, was raised from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, and He has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to testify on His behalf. The Spirit would provide knowledge and direction. Let's look at a couple of passages in John. The Spirit would reveal all things. John 14, 25 and 26 says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." Just last quarter, we had a series of lessons. In the beginning, before the earth was created, God had a plan. And we learned all of these neat little things to say. And I've forgotten half of them. Jesus taught His apostles for 3 years. They forgot a lot of things that He taught them. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring what? To remembrance all that I said to you." There's no way without that those apostles could remember everything that Jesus had taught them. But because the Spirit came and filled them, it reminded them of the things that Jesus had taught them during that period that was with them. He also said to them, "I have many more things to say to you," and I was ready to say this to Mike, "but you cannot bear them now." There's just so much that one can handle, and His apostles had reached that point, and Jesus knew that. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will remind you of what I taught you while I was here, but those things that I couldn't teach you because you couldn't bear them then, He's going to teach them to you now. "For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come." Remind them and fill them in on the things that Jesus couldn't bring to them. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, the source of all truth comes from God. Man had no part in making God's will. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit that spoke from God." It's all coming from God. God's will is written in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit revealed the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and think about this for a minute. As you sit out there, nobody knows what's in your heart but you. And no one knows what's in God's heart, what's in God's mind, but His Spirit. And He sent that Spirit to reveal those things that were in His mind. "For to us God revealed then through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That which the Holy Spirit brought to these apostles were the thoughts of God, reminding them of the things that Jesus had taught them in the past, and also those things that they needed to learn that he was not able to teach them while he was here. God's will is written in scriptures. The Spirit reveals the mind of God to these inspired men. Then they wrote the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I, the Apostle Paul, wrote to you are the Lord's commandments. Not only does the Spirit reveal to the apostles the inner thinking of God, which they wrote down, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we can read the inspired writings, and we must read these writings to know the will of God. No one on earth can teach us anything that's outside the bounds of his inspired writings. Ephesians 3:1-5. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, so as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, that is what Paul wrote, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. God gave to Christ. Christ gave the Spirit to reveal to the apostles. They wrote it so that we can understand and gain an insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. What about the nature of the written word? It makes some claims, does it not? And the first of those claims is that it's complete. We don't need another book. We don't need other books. Bible, the Word of God, claims that it's complete. Nothing else is needed. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every, not just some good works, but for every good work. And in 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. The Bible also claims that it's final, that there's not going to be another revelation, that the Scripture that we have and God's Word is final. Jude 3. The message has been delivered for all time. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And in verse 12, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. And in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. It also claims to be eternal. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. And in verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers fall off, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. The Scriptures are eternal. They're complete, they're final, and they're eternal. But it also makes some demands on us. It demands that we walk in them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and verse 5. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, what does he have to play by? He has to play by the rules. He does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We must run the race according to the rules, and we must abide by the edicts that have been laid down for us in Scripture. Not only do we have to walk in them, but we're told not to go beyond what we find in Scripture. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Paul was just amazed that they had moved away from the gospel of Christ to one of a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if Paul or any of the other apostles or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have proclaimed to you, he is to be accursed. And as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. Don't listen to anything that goes beyond the Scriptures. And in 2 John 1, verses 9 through 11, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not love God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in the evil deed. The doctrines of men are simply unacceptable. Matthew 15, 7 through 9 and 12 and 13. You hypocrite! Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. We're to walk in them. We're not to go beyond them. And Scriptures demand that we do everything that we do in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's kind of summarize all of this. The written scriptures are the inspired word of the Lord revealed through the Holy Spirit, not by the will of any man. The scriptures, the written scriptures, are the inspired word of God that have been revealed through the Holy Spirit, written down by these apostles for us to read, and not by the will of any man. They're complete, final, and eternal. They require that we walk in them, that we abide in them. We're not to go beyond abiding in the doctrines of Christ, and we are to do all things in the name of Christ, that is, by his authority. Very simple lesson this evening, reminding us of things that we already knew, that God has given Christ all authority. He's the head over the church, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to remind his apostles and to teach them additional things, which they then wrote down for us to read. And we're to stay within the framework of those things that they have penned for us. So if there should be someone here this evening who accepts the fact that this is God's Word, that its claims of being complete and final and eternal are true, and they believe and understand what Mark said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And over in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, those people were pricked in their hearts, and they said, Peter, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's someone here this evening that we can help in any way, would you come now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?